And so in Exodus 17, you find the following true story, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, Exodus chapter 17, at the Lord's command, God's instruction, the whole community of Israel. We're talking about 2.5 million Jews that has just left Egypt. Still struggling to get Egypt out of their system, the Knofel and the Ayia Porta. But they are in the desert now. And the Bible says, the community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. I love camping, but it's quite a task to set up your tent every evening, especially when you're traveling. And here they are on their way to the promised land, following this man Moses. They have seen the hand of God, no doubt. The Red Sea crossing, the 10 plagues, they have seen for themselves. And yet here they are, the wilderness of Sin, moving from place to place. The Bible says eventually, they camped in a place called Rephidim. And then the Bible says the following, but there was no water. There was no water. Life-giving sustenance, there was no water for the people to drink. And you would imagine, it's not just they a sacrificing nation. They've got goats, they've got cattle, they've livestock. What do we call it? Livestock. And it's not just themselves, it's their livestock. It's everything. Thirsting for water. And then the Bible says something, and so once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. We live in a country where demands is a dime a dozen. Where we demand, it is our God-given right, I demand. And we have seen the results thereof. But in this case, we're talking about water. I mean, you can do without food, you can do without many things, but water. So you would think in your self, they justify it, aren't they? Their complaints. You know Moses' response? He says, quiet. Moses replied, why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? Follow the story. Follow it with me. It's profound. They're going to Moses. Hulle staan met klippe agter die rug voor Moses en sê, jy beter 'n plan maak, mater. And Moses says, why are you testing the Lord? Sometimes God tests us in the physical. God tests us with life-threatening stuff in the physical. Do you complain? Do you murmur? Or do you wait on the Lord? The Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 17, Exodus, but tormented by thirst. Tormented. This is the word the Bible used, tormented. They continued to argue with Moses. And they said to him, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us? Are you trying to kill our children, our livestock, with thirst? And once again, one would read this and think, yeah, well, they got a point here. Justify it, isn't it? It's how they handle the crisis. It's how they handle the crisis. Let's see how Moses handled the crisis. Because surely Moses, a man in the flesh, a mortal man, was also thirsty. Not so. had a family. And so the Bible says, Exodus chapter 17 and verse 4, then Moses cried out to the Lord. The place to start, the place to turn to, the Lord God of heaven and earth. What should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. And so Moses, not only in a thirst crisis, but his life threatened by people who want to backstab him and kill him with stones. Hey, this is a true story. In verse 5, the Lord said to Moses, and you find this omniscient, unseen God that was as unseen then as he is right now. You find this God speaking to Moses, walk out in front of these people. And then he says to him, take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you, and I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Then strike the rock and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. The Bible says, and so Moses struck the rock as he was told, and the water gushed out as the elders looked on. Ek dink die wind was so uit hierdie ouens se seile uit gewees. Hulle het skoon vergeet, hulle is dors. In Afrikaans sê ons, hulle bekke het oopgehang. Eh? And so, verse 7 says, Moses named the place Masha, which means test. Where do you see yourself in this story? He also named the place Meribah, which means arguing. What would you have named your situation this morning? The Bible says, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord. And here it is. Go and see it for yourself. In verse 7, they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? How many times in our lives we have tested God by saying, I'm not sure if the Lord God is with me in this or not. I'm in a life-threatening situation. I'm in a real big crisis, but is the Lord here with me? And you find in this true story, God telling Moses to use his rod and strike a stone in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, and water came pouring out. Supernaturally, God provided, God that's never late, the creator of the universe. God won't be late in your circumstances. Listen to me. God won't be late in your circumstances. Do not complain to your bank manager. Do not complain to your wife, your family, your mother-in-law, father-in-law, your boss, your line manager. Run to the Lord as Moses did. Speak to the Lord and wait on the Lord to speak to you. And so the story continues, this true story. It says in verse 8, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Now, we've seen that plenty in our lives. The attack that comes from the evil one, the Amalek, surround us. Verse 9 says, and Moses commanded Joshua, the next in line, the one who were to take it over from Moses. However, Joshua at that stage, taking instructions, learning, watching, observing. And Moses said to him, choose some men and go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. A sign of authority, a sign of God's divine providence and God's authority. The staff of Moses. We've read about it earlier, the same staff that Moses used in front of Pharaoh, that turned the river Nile into blood. And Moses said, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. And this true story continues. And so Joshua did what Moses has commanded. Followed the instruction. And fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. And so the Bible says, as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. They were winning. As long as Moses kept his arms in the air and the staff in the air. Can you see it in the theater of your mind? Moses with his long beard, Aaron, Hur, on top of that hill, and he's holding up the staff. The divine presence of God himself. The Bible says, but whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. And then the Bible says something very profound. A true story, verse 12. Moses' arms soon became tired, so he could no longer hold them up. It's a natural thing, isn't it? En my army daar moes jy 'n sandbak het reguit armpies voor jou hou en behoede jou siel as daai sandbak het begin sak. And so his arms became tired and he could no longer hold them. And the Bible says that as long as Moses held up the staff, the Israelites had the advantage, but whenever he dropped his hand, there's a lesson here. There's a lesson here. The physical realm versus the spiritual realm. In the physical realm, as long as his arms is up in the air, the glory of God, the staff in his hands is up in the air, the lives who depended on it, Joshua and his men, were winning. But the moment that staff goes down, in the spiritual realm, things would click over, would change. Then we find something else. And so Aaron and Hur found a rock for him to sit on. And they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. And so his hands held steady until sunset. Sometimes it takes a team effort. Sometimes it takes those brothers and sisters around you to hold up your hands in the physical realm so that in the spiritual realm you can win the fight. It's a profound story. It's a story of trust in the omniscient, unseen God. These same Israelites that asked in verse 7, is the Lord here with us or not, could see that God is an ever-present God. The very oxygen that you're breathing right now in your house, in your car, at your place of work, I am breathing here in the studio. I can't see it, but without it, we won't survive 3 minutes. And the Bible says, Aaron and Hur found a rock for Moses to sit on. Are you sitting and standing on the rock of all ages this morning? Are you holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of thirst, in spite of the Amaleks, the enemy around you, in spite of what it looks like in South Africa? Are you standing on the rock? Are you sitting on the rock? Is your arms lifted up by brothers and sisters this morning? so that God's glory can stay in the air, permeate the air, fill the air, that you know that you know. The Bible says in verse 13, and as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. Listen, I've got three more verses to go. It's profound stuff. It's a true story. It says after the victory. This unseen God instructed Moses. My version of it, the Bible just says, the Lord instructed Moses. Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder. And because of the obedience of Moses, we can read this true story this morning and be touched by it, be encouraged by it. Are you writing down the miracles in your life? Does your children's children know what the Lord has done for you? Are you taking courage from this true story this morning? In spite of first life-threatening situations, in spite of the Amaleks, the enemy surrounding you, God will come through for you. And so the Lord said to Moses, write it down as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Your enemies you will see no more. You hang in there. There will come a day the crying and the tears will stop. God's self will wipe your tears. And then Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nishi, which means the Lord is my banner. Can you say it, my brother? Can you say it this morning? The Lord is my banner. In spite of my circumstances, the Lord is my banner. Are you willing to build an altar and name it the Lord is my banner? This Friday morning, the 26th of April, God has changed your heart through His word and say, in spite of the circumstances I'm going through, the Lord is my banner. And He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek's generation after generation. There's a price to pay if you raise your fist against the throne of the Lord. Multitudes on the face of this planet raising their fist against the throne of the Lord. And the Lord will be at war with Amalek's generation after generation. Are you willing to trust the Lord God Almighty this morning? I trust that this true story has gripped your heart. Go and read it again. Exodus chapter 17, and there's only 16 verses. Find Christ in there. Find the Holy Spirit in there. Find the living God of Israel. Yahweh Nishi, the Lord is my banner. Find Him in there and put your faith and your trust in this God. Father God, we come to You this morning apologizing for our murmuring, our complaining. And yes, Lord, sometimes it's life-threatening. But we put our faith and our trust in You. You are our banner this morning. You are the rod, the lifted rod. And we worship You, our King. Thank You, Father, that through Your word, You're bringing hope. You're encouraging Your body this morning, Your bride. You fill our lamps with new and fresh oil. We love You, Lord. Thank You for the beauty of Your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And the body of Christ says, amen and amen.
Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.